Tonight on Ham Nation, we're going to spotlight four different amateur radio clubs. I hope you stick around because you're going to learn a lot. And I do hope you're staying safe.
Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 453, May 13th, 2020. The club spotlight is on four active amateur radio clubs. Hi, everybody. It's Bob Heil, and we're here on Ham Nation. That's where you got your dial set to, and we're glad you're here. We just have a great show tonight. You know, we've been doing this spotlight on the clubs. Well, tonight we have four clubs. Four of them, and they're just exciting stuff coming up. So you'll want to pay attention because it could be one of your clubs. But we're sure happy that we could put all this together, and hopefully we'll have more and more. And if you have a club, send me an email and let me know, and we'll put you in the listing, put you in the green room, as I call it, and you'll be a guest here. Tell us about your club. Really simple. hamclubs@twit.tv or my call at K9EID@ARRL. Either one will get them to me, and we'll put your club in rotation and get you going. We have a lot of clubs wanting to do this, and we just honor all the work that you do. Gordo, how are you doing? You holding up on all this craziness?
We are. In fact, our beaches are open. As you can tell, surf was up. And so it looks like a banner weekend coming up. Although we're still sequestered. This is like day 68 for Susie and I. And Bob, 99 years ago, when they were doing telegraphy at railroad stations and the sparks were coming out of the wires, it was the largest geomagnetic storm ever. And who knows if it'll happen again. But I'll tell you, last night working Kilo 2 Hotel, H for Heroes, the bands on 20 meters were open till midnight. So, wow, surf's up, bands up, everything's good, Bob.
That's right. I mean, 6 meters was open. 6 and 10 was open recently, right?
Right. 2 weeks ago. And Alaska was coming in, just calling CQ. Couldn't raise anybody on 6. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to get on with our things here. Before I go, I want to thank everybody that checked in this past weekend on our Heil Ham Radio Day. That's still up there, and you want to go check it out. Just go to our website, and on that page, it says, I think you can just click it, and it'll watch now. Really wonderful things. Donna, our service director, gave us a bunch of tips of things that we should be doing and how we can fix things. And then I did about an hour of things, did quite a view of this studio. So you don't want to miss that. Just look that up on HeilSound.com. And when it says watch now, well, you can make it happen. So I look forward to having more of you ask good questions of so on. I got a lot of emails this week, a lot. So I'll be anxious to see what happens the rest of the week with all of you watching it. Well, I had a very interesting thing. Many of you that watch this show, you know, I do not have very good antennas. I mean, I have pretty poor antennas, if you really want to know the truth about it. And I put up just a wire on for 17 meters, a dipole, and it's up about maybe 25 or 30 feet. And I just was listening around on 20 meters with it the other day. And I'm going, what is going on here? And what I came across was the K2 Hero Net. And I couldn't believe it, but I got in. So here's a fix for you. Gordo and I tell you all the time, just get on the air. Just try it. Who would think that antenna would work? What do you think, Gordo?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it was by accident last night. I heard someone calling CQ. I thought, wow, 8 o'clock at night, California time from Tuland. And there they were.
Amazing. And I put that antenna up to work Bud Drummond, but that's on 17 meters. I tuned up the old ICOM, and guess what? Barefoot, I got in. So it's like, oh my. Well, I got so enthused, and I just had to share this with everybody, because you, each one of you, need to go check in and put our 2 cents worth in, because it's the Hero's Net, and the leader of that is our good friend Peter W2JV. Peter, how are you doing? It's so, so good to have you with us. I know you've
pleasure.
Had
quite— Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, Bob, I interrupted you there. But I can tell you something, that the excitement, the energy, the enthusiasm for the K2 Heroes event that will go through the month of May is incredible. I mean, people, when they heard that you had this funky antenna, and I gave you an honest 10 over 9 signal, they were saying, what the heck? I mean, what do we have, super propagation? But I got to tell you, to Gordo's point, there are people that I'm speaking with that have not been on the air for 16, 18 months, 5 years. I had one guy today, he was talking to me on a rain gutter antenna. Rain gutter antenna. I said, what the heck is going on here? He said, I had to get on the air. I had to make a contact. I'm a vet, and I wanted to say hello and thank you. And I'm talking to guys in HOAs that are putting up magnetic loops just to get in contact with us. There's so much emotion. But let me just tell you, my club is the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and we've been very active over the years promoting special events. In fact, our president, John Melfi, W2HCB, has encouraged its members to participate and give back to the community as often as they can. And we have, in fact, a special event team consisting of Lou, November Oscar 2, Charlie, Sally, his wife, Kilo 2. Isn't that nice to have a husband and wife team like that? Kilo 2, Romeo Yankee Delta. We have Mike, KC2SYS, Sierra Yankee Foxtrot, and Karen, KD2GUT. They are doing one event after another. In fact, the most recent events they've done, K2L, the 12 Days of Christmas, had a phenomenal amount of contacts there. And then we had the K2M event honoring the men and women of Grumman who built the LEM. What a super, super bill that was. But, you know, I asked Lou the other day, I said, Lou, how did you come up with the idea of this K2H? He said, well, I was struck with the enthusiasm of all the cars in formation coming around my neighborhood, honking the horns, had balloons, were applauding. I have a few nurses on my block. And I said, you know, why not do something on the air, you know, for all the frontline workers of New York State, you know, having their lives really put at risk every single day. So the idea of every contact that we make is saying thank you to them really seemed appropriate. So Lou contacted ARRL and said, hey, I'd like to call. I think K2H would be right. H for heroes, as Gordo said. And he was hoping for 2 weeks maybe. You know, as we all know, you just can't have these calls for very long. Well, the ARRL said, you know what? This is a phenomenal event. You can have it for the entire month. Wow. Wow. Now, I don't know if I can last the entire month. To give you an idea, I've been on, I mean, it's incredible. I've been on 13 days. And right now, so far, after 13 days, just to give you a little bit of an idea of what we're looking at, we had a total of, let's see. We have all states operated, 121 countries. We have a total of 11,550 contacts. Wow. And that's 13 days. We're going to run out of logs. Yeah, I'll tell you. It's incredible. It is something else. So without hesitation, of course, we're going on. Now, a public information officer, he contacted Newsday, our Long Island newspaper, with a circulation of about 300,000. And they did a story, but they were especially intrigued by the fact that I'm streaming this to anyone at all that does not have amateur radio equipment. And I'm streaming it, and they said, give us a 10-minute introduction. We want to know about that. So they put it on their website, and it's been phenomenal. There are people, of course, that most of them are not amateur radio operators, and they said, what the heck is going on? I'm getting these emails, and they're saying, wait a minute, I thought you guys just did contest and rag chewed. So one woman said, I'm going to allow my husband to take his radio out of the closet. This is neat. I didn't think you did service. And well, you know, they think all we talk about often is technology, and we're techie and we're nerds. And then maybe on 80 meters, we may talk about, 75 foot powder that we use. No, excuse me. We really don't do that on 75 meters, do we? No, not at all. Not at all. But it has been incredible. The live stream has been wonderful. There are people that are asking about amateur radio. We have young people that are saying, wait a minute, you shouldn't be doing this. This is something that we streamers do, and playing these different simulation games. And so a few of them said, I didn't know that. And there you go. There's my picture of me. This is the pan adapter that that I have for my Flex radio. And there's my signal centered over there. This is 20 meters at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Not too bad. I mean, a lot of nice signals on the air. So this is what I look like when I'm streaming. This is one of the, I try not to show my picture too often. In the background there, you probably can't see it. I have Happy Mother's Day. I bought a Happy Mother's Day balloon. So we were saying hi to the Mother's Day. And also, of course, we celebrated VE Day during the week. So we did that as well. But we're getting a tremendous amount of pileups. I think that you can attest to that, Bob. It's just phenomenal. I mean, I'm having to separate the calls, asking those with W and M calls. I made the mistake yesterday of saying, could I speak with anybody that's QRP? Well, the honor system really didn't work. I said, wait a minute, this is not right. But essentially, I think what's happening is people are venting. You know, this is not only, as I'm finding out, about really saying thank you to those heroes that put their lives on the line every single day. The doctors, you know, the EMTs, the emergency technicians, people delivering our mail, you know, people that take care of our sanitation, all of those are on the line. And yes, we're saying thank you with each call, and everybody is expressing their gratitude. But then there are stories that people are telling me. They're telling me stories about perhaps one nurse that basically is a neighbor of one of the people that I spoke with in Ohio, and she's 65 years old, and unfortunately, she didn't make it. And she was a perfectly healthy person. And these are the stories. But what I'm hearing, people need to vent. Everyone has tremendous amount of anxiety. Believe it or not, even amateur radios have feelings. So they're just expressing themselves. They're giving stories about how much anxiety they might have. And I think it's cathartic for everybody. And I think that may be another reason, perhaps, why this is really doing so well. So it's a war of germs out there. And we're trying to do our business as the amateur radio service, just being out there saying thank you. But it is just phenomenal. My apologies for being so effusive and energetic about it, but it is just a big time. Well, it's okay. Wonderful.
I really like the fact that you have these certificates for folks if they want to join in and get the different certificates. But the really cool certificate is that one that you send to the doctors and the nurses. That's just really, really super.
And thank you, Bob. Yeah, every county will have a certificate. Lou has been busily working, making sure the program is going to work. So you'll get one from Staten Island. I don't know if they'll be able to spell that one for you, Gordo, but they'll get one for you. You'll get it.
I was so impressed with the operator at Staten Island, because you could hear everybody in the background, and they really said, this is for the heroes. And believe me, they got that through loud and clear last night.
Fantastic.
That's great. One thing that they can do is look you up on 20 meters. You use one frequency, or do you move around?
Yes, no, I do move around. I obviously want to stay in the general portion of the band. So generally, you'll find me between 14 to 40 to 50. And even if the frequency is in use, then someone will say, this is K2H. The waves get parted. Have whatever you want. So that's great. And everyone around the world, you know, it's not only the United States. We're talking to people anywhere and everywhere. You know, someone checked in yesterday from I think it was Indonesia. And I said, wow. I said, that's great. I mean, and my antenna wasn't even near the person. So he must have been standing tall on his roof to get the signal out to me. But it's a small world. I mean, we only have 3 million, I think, amateurs around the world and about 700,000 here. And everyone, it's a smaller world as a result of this pandemic. It's incredible. It's just a wonderful thing that Lou has put together.
I really appreciate you coming on and letting everybody know about it. I was proud to be able to work you, and look forward to getting back on this week and checking in again. But thank you so much for all you're doing. Keep up the good work, and come back and let us know in a few weeks how it's all going. I know you're going to have numbers out the window. Boy, oh boy. So stay in touch with us, and God bless you. Stay
My
healthy.
Pleasure.
And stay safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure, Gordo. But work some more of those stations. We got 45 counties on the air.
All right. I'll be on tonight.
All right. Thanks, Gordo. Be well. Thank you very much for the time, Bob. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and I know that a lot of guys have already worked you. I talked to a few of the guys yesterday that had worked you from around here, so that's wonderful that you're doing all these things, and that's what ham radio is about. We talk about, what do you do during all of this dilemma? Well, that's what you do. You go out and get on the radio and have fun. So we appreciate all that you're doing there for the heroes, the nurses, the doctors, and all the emergency services that are trying to keep us all together. Well, the other side of the coast there, there's a couple of really good things going there. Gordo, let's swing things out to you, and want you to talk to the GOTA Club. I think you knew something about those guys anyway, so let's hear a little bit about the GOTA Club.
Okay. Well, we all know what GOTA means, and that is, of course, get on the air. But here is an individual that's motivated the club and so many of us out here in Southern California. Jack, welcome aboard. And we are so happy to have Jack, KM6UMQ. Jack, where'd you get this idea that brand new hams really do need an extra hand on getting on the air, Jack?
Well, we formed this club about a year ago with four members that emphasized the fact that we wanted to be a social club with an amateur radio emphasis. Above that, we wanted to be able to do hands-on mentoring of each other based on our combined experiences, and most of all, get on the air on a regular basis.
Wow, that is terrific. And so tell us a little bit about your technique of finding brand new hams and physically working with them to get their units programmed and all tuned up and turned on, and mentoring them to indeed get on the air.
Well, I think that's largely due to the fact that we are a very active club. Even though we're small and we have 50 members from five that we started a year ago, we get out at least three times or more a month.
Wow.
We have our regular meeting that we're now doing on video chat until things change. We go to the Claremont swap meet, and we set up a GOTA Hams lounge where we put up a radio and some pop-up tents, and we give out free donuts and coffee, and we invite all the hams and the people that are interested to come up. And we've gained a lot of hams that way. But we've also found out that we get a lot of inquiries because, traditional training and testing doesn't give you a lot of hands on the knob time.
No, so, it doesn't.
And so we wanted a lot of opportunities for our members to get out, get on the air, have a lot of chance to sit with each other and turn the knobs and learn from the experience of one of our other members.
Oh, go ahead, Jack. Oh, that's one I was looking for. Go ahead, explain that one. Great job.
Yeah. Well, this is our dinner. This is one of our dinner members. And I want to explain that when we founded the club, we emphasized the fact that we wanted to be welcoming.
Right.
We wanted to include family members, and we also, you know, wanted to involve the general public. So everybody's invited. This slide is an example of one of our opportunities where we go out in the park on a monthly basis. We do what we call a mini field day every month, which gives us a chance to practice putting up some radios, the batteries, the antennas, and also practice hands-on. The slide you're looking at is the Go to Ham's Lounge that we do at the Claremont Swap Meet. And we set up a radio, and people practice on the radio over there. And at the same time, sometimes people bring up a new piece of equipment they've purchased, and they try it out. This is our Go to Ham's Go to Home. We support the club with a lot of our activities with this motor home that has solar power. We keep all our antennas and things with it, and we set it up when we get out to a lot of the events that we go to. We have a number of our members that volunteer to set up equipment for members of our club or anybody else that asks for help. This is our antenna team. But we also have people to get out and help people set up their station and their grounding and everything. This is another example of where we're working with families. This is the Sutherland family, where last week you saw James, and
right,
this is his
right.
Mom and dad. They're all three licensed hams now. James is KN6 IPL. He's our newest member. We'll show another picture of him in just a minute. But this is an example of how we are mentoring each other. This is Ken, WC6WOK, our president, and Mark, KM6AHY, who is our vice president, and we're co-hosting Fox Hunt with one of the larger clubs in the area, where we help sponsor this and provide support. Then once again, this is James. James and his dad built some J-pole antennas that James using his new antenna. And actually, he and his dad are coming to our virtual meeting to give us a presentation and tell us how to build J-pole antennas. So,
is great. And Jack, tell us two things with a Claremont swap meet that is probably on hold now. How do you continue to reach out, and tell us about your virtual meetings?
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, with a club that's social in nature, it's kind of difficult to do that when you can't get outside to do it. But what we actually did is pivot, and we changed our weekly UHF net to a nightly net every night at 8 p.m. And then we preface that with a one-hour Zoom video chat. So the members of our club that are unlicensed can also take advantage of the social networking. And so we do a roundtable net so that people can talk about the things they've been doing or just about how they're doing with and how they're feeling, and make sure everybody's okay during the pandemic.
Oh, that is so important. That is just great, Jack. Anything to add?
Well, I just like to add that we have members from ages 8 to 80. This is our club logo and our call club call. The Go to Ham's WG6OTA. I want to say that again. And again, Gordon, since you're here, I'd like to in Southern California. We're in an Inland Empire club that goes south to Orange County. We'd like to welcome you and any other hams that are watching tonight to visit our website at WG6OTA.com. Or if you're local, get on our nightly 8 p.m. net on 446.400 with a negative PL tone of 103.5. That's our website, and we'd really love to have people join us.
Well, that is just terrific. WG6OTA, oh, that's a great one, .com. And for those of us local, 446.400 with a tone of 103.5 minus offset. Well, Jack, thank you so much. And you're a real inspiration during these sort of tough times when you can't normally go out and meet and greet as you've done at the Claremont Swap Meet. But it sounds like you're doing just fine with now how many club members? Started with 5 and you're over 50. Is that right?
We're almost at 50 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just. That is just terrific. Well, thank you so much, Jack, for joining us. And again, I encourage everybody, WhiskeyGolf6OTA.com. Check out the website and be part of the GOTA. Get them on the air. Back to you for a final, right, Jack.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we appreciate it being able to be on the spotlight.
Well, you sure are. Thanks so much. Wow, this is really exciting. Well, let's head on down to Mississippi area, check in with George and ICOM America and see what George has up his sleeve. George?
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz, 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, and live band scope with waterfall, integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRP P operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM invites you to enter weekly in the drawing for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats by going to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. While you're there, register, and you'll also learn about the grand prize drawing that's held each month. And we've got a great prize coming up here for May. It is the ICOM ID5100A VHF UHF dual band D-Star transceiver. It's an innovative 2-meter 70 centimeter mobile with touchscreen, built-in GPS, DVDV dual watch, DVFM repeater list function, DV fast data mode, SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an optional Bluetooth board available as well, and a downloadable Android app. So I'm just going to say this about this rig. This is the mobile that I'm using now in one of my vehicles. I've been a ham for almost 30 years, and this is the best dual-band mobile rig I have ever operated. It doesn't matter if you do D-Star are not. It's a fantastic analog radio as well. So easy to operate. Things that, you know, I wouldn't do very often on my other rigs, and I'd have to pull out the manual to look it up. You can quickly find it right there on the touchscreen. So ID5100A, you certainly want to throw your name in the hat for this one because, wow, what a great mobile rig. ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Sign up, register today, and good luck. Don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter as well. Well, we've got a lot of club spotlights tonight, and we've got one more right now from a special amateur radio club. It's the Lebanon Valley Society of Radio Amateurs, and we've got Titus Carnathan, AB3WX, with us tonight to tell us about it. Hi, Titus.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. So I don't know anything about the Lebanon Valley Society of Radio Amateurs, but I did check out the website. It looks like a fun club there. Tell me what's going on, because I know, you know, Pennsylvania has kind of been on lockdown. Things are a little different up there. What do you guys do?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll go into what we're doing right now with the COVID shutdown. For the last 2 months, we've been using our 2-meter repeater for our meetings. It's more of an informal meeting over our repeater. Now, starting this weekend, we will be using Zoom for our monthly meetings, going forward until we can go back to our normal meeting, which we hold at a local restaurant. And even then, we actually are discussing possibly using Zoom during the actual restaurant meetings for members that can't make it, either due to health or just for their working. Every month, we normally do a testing that also is on hold right now. One other thing that we're doing to help members out right now during the shutdown. Last fall, I created a message board using PHP BB. It's a free message board software. It's actually getting used heavily in the last few months. It's a good way for members to communicate back and forth on products they've done, contesting that's coming up, maybe contacts they have made, you know, the DX contacts. It's also a great way for club members to communicate on other subjects. I also use this as a backup for email if a member doesn't receive an email from me involving club details in that. There's a section in there I have this for club members that only they can see. Now, anyone can join our message board. You don't have to be a ham. You don't have to be a member of a club. I have two sections in there, one's for members and one's for anybody to see. Our club's a mix of both a social and an MCOM club. Quite a few of our members are actually involved with Aries Races with Lebanon County Department of Emergency Services. We also have a lot of Skyline spotters in our club. Our club also participated in very emergency exercises like the 3 Mile Island Meltdown Drill that was held every year. We actually were assisting Red Cross shelters with communications between EOCs. Two years ago, we did an event called Broken Sky. That was an event when we were using FM simplex instead of our repeaters to see where we can actually get communications around the county and outside the county between this regular operators and EOC, as well as EOCs in other counties. That gave us the ability to see where we had dead spots in the county, as well as where we get good communications in the county. Our club also helps out parades, like the Memorial Day Parade, which unfortunately is canceled, as far as I know. I'm trying to think some other stuff that we do. We do take part in various club Cub Scout activities. That one right there is actually the Cubo Rama activity. That picture right there, that is, I think that's Ed and Colleen. And that picture right there with the Go Box.
So how large is the club, Titus? How many members do you have?
We have a little over 50, if I'm not mistaken. Last I checked, I think we're at 54.
Cool. Are they staying active now that, you know, things have changed and you've moved to, for the time being anyway, strictly a net and now moving over to Zoom? Does everybody seem to be joining in on that?
Not sure yet. That's coming up. Saturday will be our first time using Zoom. We also have a weekly 2-meter emergency net held every night at 8 p.m. on one of our repeaters. That net there gets an average of 30 to 40 members checking in. It starts off as a voice net, and then after we do the voice portion of the net, we actually do a digital net across a repeater using FL Digi, using various digital modes.
Now, that sounds like a lot of fun. A little different there. So, I wouldn't have thought about that FL Digi would pass digital signals through a repeater that well, but I don't see why it wouldn't.
And it works perfectly.
Yeah, increase your range quite a bit.
Right there is from our field day last summer. We do our field day in South Hills Park in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And we also partake in a winter field day with one of our neighboring clubs up in their cabin. Our club has four repeaters. We had two 2-meter repeaters around the county, a 70-centimeter repeater, and a 33-centimeter repeater.
Anything
else I'm missing?
I guess this is a field day.
And that right there is our president, Ken Bechtel, during the Broken Sky event. Something else our club started doing recently, we are started to do a kit building activities. I think we only did like one or two of those. This actually happened right before the shutdown started, but it did have a good turnout, and I'm hoping we can start doing more of those in the future. We also do training for different ham radio related topics. We're actually very fortunate to have a fire company in our area that actually lets us use our social hall to hold our classes, and some of the classes we did in the past are like digital voice, like D-Star, DMR, MCOM, Go Kit Building. So hopefully in the near future we can do more classes.
That does sound like a lot of fun. The kit building, that sounds interesting to me. You know, a lot of guys, a lot of hams have never done anything like that. So that's a good project there.
That's about, I don't really have. I'm sure I'm forgetting some stuff. But, oh, yeah, it's another thing with the emergency communication. Something else some of our members are involved with is search and rescue.
Oh.
With one of the local search and rescue groups.
Okay, and I notice you've got WX as a suffix there on your call sign. Makes me think that you're pretty involved in the weather aspect of things.
Oh, yes. Yep, that's why I picked that one.
Yeah. Well, boy, it certainly sounds like a great club there and some fun activities going on. And the Zoom, well, you'll have to let us know how that turns out. I know a lot of guys are doing that now, and it's one more way to communicate. And, you know, after all, that's what ham radio is about. So I hope you get good acceptance on that. And, hopefully we'll be coming out of all this before too terribly long and actually get to see each other in person again.
Yeah, we do miss our meetings that we have every month. We normally have a breakfast every month. That's also when we do our testing as well at the same time.
Yeah. So how many nets do y'all do in say, a month's time? Quite a few, I guess.
We normally just do one net. We do one net every Tuesday. So it'd be four nets, five nets a month. It's every Tuesday night we do our emergency net.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add? And, you know, if people are in the area there, I don't know what towns or cities are around that part of the state, but if somebody's interested and maybe wants to check out the club, learn more about it, what could they do?
I would go to our club's website, lvsra.org, and then click on Contact Us. You actually find a info email address right there. You could also email me. I'm the secretary at lvsra.org, and I can steer you in the right direction.
Well, that sounds great, Titus, and appreciate you being here with us tonight and letting us know what's going on up there in Lebanon Valley. And, sounds like a great club.
Oh, yeah.
And
thank you for having us.
Yeah. And we'll have to check back with you later and see how everything goes and if club members are receptive to new ways of communicating and meeting in the meantime, and, you know, and then when things get back to whatever normal will be. Thanks again for being here, Titus, and we really appreciate it. 73. Well, I wanted to mention one thing here tonight before we move on to Don, because Don's got all the news about amateur radio that you need to know. But Friday night, I'll be doing another live stream. We'll be shooting the next episode of Amateur Logic at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 0100 UTC at live.amateurlogic.tv. You want to join us if you can, because rumor has it that Ray Novak will be joining us, and he might have a little more information on the IC705, that stuff we didn't previously know. So I hope he has that information. It's supposed to happen, but, you know, when I last spoke with him earlier this week, he was expecting it before Friday. So we hope to get that info and let you know more about that. But there are some other things going on, some projects we're doing this time around that you might find enjoyable. There's a new hotspot out there. It's the N5BOC duplex hotspot that Tommy put together. It looks really nice. I think I may be wanting one of these. It's a little different than our others, you know, because they all operate simplex. And if you've got traffic coming in on, say, D-Star or DMR or Fusion or whatever, you can't break in and change to a different reflector or talk group. You're pretty much stuck until you can find a spot between two people talking to get a command back in. Well, this is full duplex, so you've got signals going both ways. So not only are you hearing what's coming in on the hotspot, you've also got command control back to it during that. That's a big plus, I'll tell you. Also, Mike, our friend VE3MIC, don't know if he's in the chat room tonight. Maybe. Anyway, he's been playing with a new inexpensive AI device that sounds pretty cool, and he's interfacing it with a Raspberry Pi. It's going to be fun. And then there's something that I've been working on, and I've done two rigs here in the last few weeks like this. When you say setting up an Echo Link or an All-Star or any number of things where you're using an old rig, maybe you're repurposing it, a lot of times you'll rely on Vox on your computer there to determine when the radio is receiving a signal and for how long to know to cut in and out. And Vox can be kind of problematic when you're doing that, especially in voice. Somebody puts a pause in there, well, then it's, you know, it's going to drop out and then come back and just kind of create confusion. So I finally discovered, well, I guess it's the first time I've ever really tried, but I got to looking at a couple of older rigs and the theory of operation and figured out how to go in there and tap a signal where I can get a signal out of the radio that tells me when the squelch is open and when it's closed. And it really has improved the things I've been doing with Echo Link and SVX Link quite a bit, because then you've got a definite signals coming in and a definite signal quit coming in. So you might want to check that out, how to tap the squelch on a rig so you've got a squelch open signal. Well, now it's time to get Don here and find out what's going on in the world of Amateur Radio Newsline this week.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2219, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. The list of COVID-19-related cancellations continues to grow. In Texas, HamCom, which was to have taken place in early June, has been canceled, as well as another event that reflects a proud tradition involving ships formerly serving in the military.
Hams who were eagerly awaiting the chance to operate from a battleship for Museum Ships Weekend in June will need to wait until 2021. Organizers have canceled the event, which was scheduled to be held on June 6th and 7th. The Battleship New Jersey amateur radio station said the event was being called off to protect the health and safety of everyone involved, noting that many of the participating ships had already been shut down in response to the pandemic. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW.
All is not lost, though. Newsline anchor Stephen Kinford has the good news of a couple of events that are still going on.
If you're getting ready for the Radio Society of Great Britain's annual Islands on the Air contest, it's still going forward on July 25th and 26th, but will be adhering to safety guidelines during the pandemic. That means only single operators will be participating using their home stations. There will be downloadable certificates instead of trophies this year for the winners. In another change from last year, signal reports will be mandatory for each QSO. There's also good news for fans of the MicroHams digital conference that's been held each year since 2007 by the Microsoft Amateur Radio Club. It's going online as a free virtual streamed event on YouTube on Saturday, May 9th, starting at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Presenters will include David Rowe, VK5, DGR, the author of Free DV and Codec 2, and John Wiseman, G8BPQ, author of BPQ32. The conference will be recorded on YouTube and can be viewed later by anyone who may have missed the live stream.
A recent contact between school kids and the International Space Station succeeded by making use of something new. It's called a multi-point telebridge.
It was an ARIS contact with school children that was like no other before it. An experiment that worked. On April 30th, a group calling itself the Northern Virginia School Group in Woodbridge, Virginia, successfully engaged in a short question-and-answer session with astronaut Chris Cassidy, KF5KDR, aboard the International Space Station. It was accomplished with the first-time use of a multi-point telebridge contact. Some 200 miles above the planet wasn't the only participant in relative isolation. The students, some as young as five, were asking their questions from home base lockdown. As Chris, using the space station call sign NA1SS, responded, "The connection between Earth and sky was made with the help of Fred Kimmerer, AB10C, who relayed the questions from his Southwest New Hampshire QTH. John Klutt, K4SQC, moderated the event from his own lockdown QTH outside Atlanta, Georgia. ARIS Chairman Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, called the event a great strategic move for ARIS. A link to the recorded video of the contact posted on the new ARIS YouTube channel can be seen in the printed script of this newscast on arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
And a reminder that the nominating period for the 2020 Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. You'll find the form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. The award will be presented Saturday, August 22nd at the Huntsville Hamfest in Alabama. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, NATMW, Stephen Kinford, NAWB, Dave Parks, WB8ODF, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
After a little bit of a reprieve, space weather this week is definitely beginning to pick up. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see a finger-like coronal hole in the south. That is now rotating into the Earth's strike zone, and it's been sending us some fast solar wind just over the past day or so. And that fast solar wind is definitely kicking aurora up, especially at high latitudes. It's also affecting the near-Earth space environment. And along with a remnant coronal hole that's continuing to rotate in through the Earth's strike zone over the next couple days, expect for these kind of disturbed conditions to continue. Now, as we switch to our far-sighted sun, now this is Stereo A, and it's looking at the sun from the side. You can see yet another finger-like coronal hole from the south. That is beginning to rotate into Earth view, and it should give us some more disturbances here probably in about a week or so. But pretty much other than that, the sun has been pretty spotless, except for the last couple days. You can see some stuff on the east limb beginning to rotate into Stereo's view. These are bright regions that were on the Earth-facing disk about a week ago, and they had boosted the solar flux up quite a bit. So they have managed to survive their far-sighted passage, and they will be rotating back into Earth view here in less than a week. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, hey, keep your fingers crossed, because it looks like we're going to get a boost in radio propagation. Switching to our moon, we are now moving out of a full moon on our way to a first quarter. And by the 15th, the moon will still be about 50% illuminated. So you night sky watchers, if you want to catch those dim objects in the sky, you're going to need to check your local rise and set times. And now for your Leo, Meo, Geo orbit outlook. As we switch to our low energy environment, now these are the particles that charge up the outside of spacecraft, including the solar arrays, that then can discharge and cause disruptions in electrical short circuits. As we look at the particle fluxes, you can see that big ring around Geo that's building, and it even is beginning to dip into the Meo orbits. And this is because we have that fast solar wind that just keeps coming, but it's not a big enough solar storm to cause any flushing. So again, the orbit's just getting worse and worse and worse with these fluxes. You can see the injections, especially in the pre-dawn regions. So you satellite operators, especially for Geo orbits and possibly into Meo orbits, expect some surface charging issues here over the next couple days. Now, as we switch to our higher energy environment, now these are the particles that end up penetrating a bit more deeply and can cause like things like single event upsets and cause performance degradation. These particles are also beginning to build up. You can see that red ring just inside of Geo moving down into the Meo orbits. So we're not expecting anything quite yet when it comes to internal charging, but definitely over the next few days, as this fast solar wind continues to pummel Earth, expect issues with internal charging, maybe even over the next week. For more details on this week's space weather, including when and where to see aurora and how space traffic is going to fare, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Thank you, Dr. T. We appreciate that report. And as always, follow her on Twitter. That's at Tamitha Scove on Twitter and spaceweatherwoman.com to find those videos and check her out because she's full of knowledge. All right. Well, good evening, everyone. We have a great guest here this evening. We have Joe Hawley, KD0TYU, and he's from another club here in Colorado, the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. How you doing tonight, Joe?
I'm just fine, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I went into a little bit of investigative journalism about you. Not really, but I do have some friends up there in that club, I'm not going to mention any names, but I will mention a call sign, KI0KN, so look him up. I said, James, I'm going to be interviewing Joe. And he said, I know, I'm so excited. I said, well, I don't know a lot. So give me some info about your club. So we've got some great topics to go over here. First of all, how many members do you guys all have? And what's the purpose of your club?
Well, we've got approximately 250 members right now. And the club actually started, it's an older club. It started back in 71, which kind of makes us next year, we're looking at our 50th anniversary. So some interesting things that we do for that. Actually, talking about maybe buying lunch for everybody or something. some of the things that we do, we run actually three different nets all week, okay? Our Monday night is probably our most successful one. It's what we call our tech net. And it's when people can actually ask questions and do all kinds of things on the thing. And then Jim actually runs it, and he actually has a topic just in case there's not a whole lot of questions and things going on from that. So you know how it is. Along with that, we also have a very strong Elmer group. We've built more antennas for people and got radios working for them. And we believe that if we remember when we first started out, and we always say, you know, if somebody's got to start someplace, so it is what it is. That particular picture is we do a lot of training, and that's actually a Boy Scout event. That's Tony giving a little bit of a briefing for the merit badge. We also run a general class and a technician's class at least once or twice a year for everybody that does this.
All right. And I also heard that you have something you call the and if I pronounce this wrong, I'm going to apologize, the Rosin Corps kit building that you send out. Is that correct?
Yes, we
what
do.
What is that all about?
We do this every other month. We have a place up in Fort Collins that we basically go to, and we build kits, build antennas. In fact, our next project, I do believe, is as Darren has a some sort of an antenna he built with tape measures and things like that. So it's an interesting bunch. And that's all what right. Rosin Corps is about. The last video that you actually showed there, the last picture that you showed, that's actually, we got lucky. That's a ham fest we did in January. The rest of them were all canceled. And if you take a look way in the back, we had ICOM attend our little event. So we usually have 500-600 people that show up for this thing, and it was a good event this year.
It absolutely looks like a great turnout for a January ham fest, by the way. And we have been to that one time. And then you guys do a lot of collaboration with a lot of other clubs and groups and repeater associations, isn't that correct?
We do that. In fact, I think you have a picture of the line of sight we have up there. That's actually a picnic that we went to. We have this once or twice a year, and there's 100 to some people that show up. But we have got a partnership with four other clubs: Rocky Mountain Ham, Colorado Connection, Longmont Amateur Radio Club, and the Colorado State University, where we actually have got linked repeaters that go all the way from Cheyenne, Wyoming, all the way down to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, they're not continually linked, but they can be linked in case of emergencies or just if somebody wanted to get a hold of each other. That's my good buddy Mike at our field day, I think it was last year or 2 years ago. He's running QRP. I don't think he knows what 10 watts is. He always runs QRP for everything.
Oh, there's always that person, isn't there? So that brings me to my next question. Not only, there you go, you guys do a lot of public service events. You want to tell us about some of those?
Anything that we do, bicycle races, these clubs will get a hold of us and ask, can you provide radio communications? Sure, you bet. And it's a good opportunity for our areas folks to actually get some training on what the field would be and various things that they can't do, like we give bid numbers, not people's names and things like that. That's a bicycle race we did 2 years ago, I think it was. This year we're kind of down because this year they're not even looking at, well, there's a lot of cancellations. Do a lot of foot races and various other things like we actually do, and James runs this one. He actually runs an event on Horsetooth where they actually have boats and they paddle boats up and down the thing. So,
I think every Aries group in the nation can say we've all faced this. Thanks for bringing that up, Victor, by the way. Our repeater system here on Fremont Peak is part of the RM Ham system. We do have part of the microwave shot that we maintain and part of Southern Colorado. But it is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and it's an amazing system. So always, if anyone has any questions about that, check out rmham.org because you can see the whole microwave system layout. And we should have some of them on to talk about that sometime, definitely. Well, is there anything? Right now, tonight, your group is doing testing, are they not?
Yes, we are. Yes, okay. We are. In fact, I was supposed to be there, and then I got a call from Bob and says, you can't be there. so here
that's
I am.
That's what I thought. I was texting James, and he says, oh, man, I wish I could watch it live, but we're actually doing a VE session. I said, you guys are crazy. So guys do a lot of testing and classes then. So what's that like year-round for you?
We try to do two or three of them, and we're starting to use Zoom and other things when we can't do this. We just did a general class and finished it up last week, and that's who they're testing tonight. And we're actually doing it very safely. We're only having four people at a time, and it's all very, very censored, if you will, and masks and all the rest of this stuff. So it's we do a lot of that over the years. I think we probably have. Oh, we always have our October one, which is actually two weekends that we actually do a tech class. And then what we do is we actually test them the second Saturday of the event. So everything is free. We even throw in lunch with the deal.
Awesome. If somebody hears free lunch, they're in. I think that's immediate. No, not us hams. Oh, sorry. My dog Radio wanted to say hi in the background. Oh, live TV. So, Joe, anything else you want to tell us about NCARC?
Yeah, there is one thing I'd like to mention, something that we've tried and it has been very, very successful, and that's our radio loan program. If we have someone, and I'm sure you've heard this before, well, now I've got my license, now what do I do with this? What we do is we've actually bought a bunch of handheld radios, and we will loan it to them for 6 months and put somebody with them and show them how to use it. And, of course, you know that we have six different repeaters with in four different sites, so we have ample amount of things that they can talk about, and everybody's on these repeaters. So we actually kind of spoon feed this to them so they stay interested in it. And we don't care if they've got a general license or an extra license and been out of it for a long time, we'll still loan them the radio. And it doesn't cost them anything. Just all they have to do is be a member of the club.
That's extremely important. And kudos to that. I don't know the rest of my team I have on tonight. I have George, I know. I'm not sure who else is on, maybe Gordo. I'm just curious, are you just handing out HTs or are you handing out some HF rigs that you're loaning out so people can get the feel for HF operations? How's that working?
We do an HF promotion, if you will. We don't loan it out. We have one ICOM, and I can't even tell you what it was because I haven't seen it for a long time, that we will loan out to anyone that does that. But generally what we try to do is we'll have a seminar for HF, and we'll have a whole bunch of operators and people who show up with who cares what kind of license they have, and they're interested in that. And then we basically will get a lot of base technicians that are interested in going to general, and they want to see what it's all about. So, yeah, we'd loan them the radio, but we also would supervise them so they don't blow the thing up or anything like that.
Absolutely. And then the next best way to get people familiar with HF would be field day. So you guys, I'm assuming that you do a huge field day production, right?
Yeah, we have in the past. This year, I think we're going to be at the ranch if everything goes right and they don't cancel the thing. So we have 200-300 people who usually show up at the thing. And off and on, we'll have some official that shows up or things like that, because I am the Aries AEC up here. So we work with that also.
Absolutely. And, we always check in on those Aries nets every Sunday night, right? No.
Mm-hmm.
So that my only other question was, I'm trying to get to it here. And I lost it. My apologies. I saw one on chat that I had picked out, but I don't have it anymore. Anyhow, go ahead.
One other thing I might mention is we've had very, very good success, thanks to our PAO, with YouTube videos. In fact, we've got a channel there that's got over 1,000 subscribers on there. So if you're interested in getting on, wanting to see what we do, just go to YouTube and type NCARC and you'll find us.
Very good. Well, thanks so much, Joe, for being here this evening. And again, our fourth club for this evening, everybody that's interested in having your club spotlighted, this is the way to do it. You just send Bob an email and he picks your information out. And he says, this looks like a pretty cool club. I want to talk to them or I want to have them on the show. So, thanks, Victor. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Joe, so much. And I look forward to maybe hitting the Ham Fest up there next January. I'm sure you're planning on it, right?
Yep.
Very good. Okay. Since doing the interview, you guys, I didn't pay attention to where the nets are going to be tonight. So put them out there on chat and I'll talk about those. But we'll have D-Star and 14 Charlie and the DMR is on 31012. And Bob is still with us. I'm sorry, Bob. Yep. Did you want to talk to Joe? Say hi.
Just want to thank you, Joe, for coming on and all of the clubs that we're on today. And I'm looking forward to even more of you that are watching tonight. Just send us an email and you'll be there, because we want to expose what ham radio is doing. That's my whole thrust behind this. It's a lot of work to get it all together. We drive the producer, Victor, crazy in doing all the switching. But I think we kind of got it down, and I appreciate you being here very much. So we'll look forward to what's going on, and you can come back and talk to us again. Let us know how good it's been this year after we get through all of this. And thanks for coming, Joe. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And George, you got your You got your soldering ironed up for what's going to happen after the net, or what are you doing tonight?
You know, I might warm up the soldering iron for a little bit. I've been using it more here in the last couple of weeks and have caught up on a few projects. Right then, though, that heat was coming from my rig here. I just checked into the D-Star net before the show ended, and they gave me an early check-in, so I was proud to get on in there. But, you know, you guys with D-Star, go over there to Reflect 14 Module C. A great net over there.
Well, hopefully one of these days I'll get all that put together here at the new location. I'll let you know what's happening. Here's what I'm doing. You know, back in the background there, you'll see that power supply I built a couple of weeks ago. Well, that thing only turned out to be about 375 to 400 volts. I said, not enough. Now, remember, this is for the final for the pine board. It's going to have an 807. So I got a new transformer from Hammond up in Canada. And it's 700 volts of center tap, so we'll be able to see a good 700 or 800 volts out of that baby. So that's what I'm doing now, is putting that power supply together. So I will keep you posted. And for all of you doom and gloomers, I know how to handle my hands. You know, I keep one hand in my pocket. I don't stand on metal. We respect ham voltage, high voltage, a lot. So I've been doing it for 65 years, too. So anyway, that's what I've been doing this week, George. If anything blows up, I'll call you, because we're going to have a little bit more than a couple hundred volts.
That's true. Yeah.
There you go.
700 volts. You're speaking my language now.
Yeah. We're getting that up there around that 1,000 volt stuff, and we can do something. Amanda, thanks a lot for doing that. And I appreciate everybody. Gordo was great. So we're going to come back here next week, and we'll have some more clubs. I know we will. And what does that shirt say? Dayton Hamvention what? Amanda, what is that?
So Don sent me this. This is from 2014, because he wished I was there. And this year I was going to be there. And this would have been our live from Dayton night. And so I thought it was only appropriate to wear this just to commemorate. I know everyone was either on flights already at Xenia or getting ready to go tomorrow morning. And we're with you. I hope you guys all watch Contest University instead online. But we wish we were going to be there. So we know it sucks, but... Yeah. Here we are. We're still here with you tonight.
Just make sure we're all healthy. Well, that's enjoy right. Your radios. There's so much out there. Oh, my gosh. There's so much to work and listen to. Please, like I told you earlier, I got on with a 17-meter dipole made out of speaker wire thrown up about 20 feet, and I'm using it on 20 meters because I heard Peter, and he said I was 10 over 9 in New York barefoot. So this isn't anything that Bob Heil's special to do. You can do that, too. I didn't believe it works, but that's radio. So just throw it up there. Have fun. What the heck else you do? Sit around and watch TV? Nah. Get on the radio. Try it. You'll be amazed what can happen. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate everyone taking part tonight. And we'll look for you next week right back here on the Twit Network. And we thank Leo. We thank our great producer, Victor. And so long for now. We'll talk later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And also, thank you to WTWW for hosting us every Wednesday night. That's awesome.
Yeah, fire up the organ after a while. That's what I got to do.
All right.
Yeah, for Saturday night show on WTWW. Okay, so long, everybody.
Hey, folks, I am Micah Sargent, co-host of Tech News Weekly right here on the Twit Network. Yes, Tech News Weekly is a show we do every week, Jason Howell and myself, where we talk to people who are making and are breaking the tech news. That's right, it's journalists, it's inventors, it's app makers, it's everybody who's bringing the tech news in a given week. It's all the stuff you want to know about in bite-sized chunks in a fantastic package. So be sure to subscribe. It's twit.tv/TNW. Bop da 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 da